Hello, this is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 32, looking at Jacob again. And the last time we were together, we were listening to the prayer of Jacob. And how he was leaning upon the promises of God with his prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for one such as Jacob who we can look at, Lord, and learn from. Learn what not to do, learn what to do. Learn what you are like, Lord, that you are merciful, you are mighty, you are faithful. You have said it, and it will not return to you void. You, Lord, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the great I Am, the one who is, who was, and whoever shall be. Father, we thank you that we can come before you who are a God like this, and we can depend upon your promises and upon your word to us, that we may trust in you completely and wholly, Lord, regardless of the circumstances. Father, you know the weakness of our flesh, Lord. We're no better than Jacob. And God, we need you to give us faith and give us strength and help us to believe, Lord. Help our unbelief, Father. And Lord, we do just pray this today as we learn these lessons. May they work out in our lives to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God has sent Jacob home. Jacob has come back to Esau. And Esau now is sending 400 men out to meet Jacob. And we said last time that Jacob was afraid because he knew Esau was going to kill him last time they saw each other. Now, Jacob has split his company up into two bands. And now he prays to God after he has executed his part of the plan. And what I really like is what Jacob does. And you'll find that this is true with men like Moses. Whenever God was going to destroy the Israelites because they were murmurers and complainers, Moses comes before God and says, Lord, you deliver them. They're your people. You are bound to take care of them. Moses went on God's promises to pray. And this is what Jacob does here. And this is what we should do. And you know, I've been reading the book on the Lord Jesus Christ about his blood. And a statement that the brother makes, he says, a lot of us don't know the benefits of the Lord because we don't know what he is saying. And you know, a lot of times we cannot claim the promises of God because we don't even know what they are. And that is blessed ignorance, isn't it? It's terrible ignorance. May God help us to know his promises. Because all God's promises in him are yea, and in him are amen. And help us, is what we would say to God, that we may know his promises, that we may act upon them, that we may pray about them, that we may turn to him about them. And this is what Jacob does. Jacob says to God, Lord, remember this. You said return to your country and to your kindred in Genesis 32:9-10 and on. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies and all of the truth that you've showed to your servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, now I'm divided to two bands. He says, now here's the humility that Jacob is now learning. Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant. Here Jacob now is beginning to have a change of heart. You remember that Jacob, when he laid his head upon the stone pillars at Bethel, he said, now if you will be with me, and if you will take care of me, and he makes and strikes a deal with God, then he would be his God, Jacob says. And now Jacob has changed, and he says, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies, and of all the truth that you've showed to your servant. What a change in the heart of Jacob, but it is still yet only beginning. Now he says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Here he reminds God of the promise. How was he going to have children like the sand of the sea, and such a number that could not be counted, because if they were dead, well, it wasn't possible. So he reminds God of this promise, just as Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. and was going to offer him to God, because he knew the promise of God was this, that he was going to be the seed through which all those children were going to come. Abraham knew that if he slew Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. In the same way here, Jacob knows that he has to rely upon the promise of God, and this is what he must do, and this is what he does in his prayer. And he just reminds God, not that God had forgotten, but Jacob himself, in fear, speaks to God. And this is another thing that speaks to me about prayer. Look how Jacob, he really gets into what is going on here. Now, Jacob's worrying just like we worry. Where's our next paycheck coming from? Where's our next meal going to come from? Where is this going to do? What is going to happen if this happens? What happens if the stock market goes broke? What happens if we get in a war? What is all this going to mean? You know what we need to do? We need to bring it before our Lord in prayer. We need to tell him exactly what we feel. We need to tell him exactly what is going on. And we need to rely upon him. And you know what is even more? We need to know his promises, as we've already mentioned, that we may claim those promises. Though we're in a world of trouble and sorrow, though we're in a world that is terrible toward us, we can rely upon God and we can trust in him, but we have to pray. Paul says, praying always with all supplications and prayers. He says, I exhort first of all that intercessions and prayers and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He says in many places, pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Be prayerful always is the thought of the scripture. And it's in all things. And here Jacob brings his trouble before God. And he lodged there that same night, it says in verse 13 of chapter 32, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, or 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hands of his servants. Each drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, ask thee, saying, what are they? Whose art thou? And whither goest thou? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say you, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. Now I want you to notice something here again. We really saw this the last time we had a series together on this subject. How that Jacob realized the promises of God, but he always had to get his 2 cents in. Here he, knowing he's prayed to God, he's said the promises of God, but he still has to get in there and to do his part. So we made the point last time we were together that, you know, it's not us plus what we do for God that saves us. It's what God has already done, and we have to rely on that totally and completely. And here Jacob stopped doing that. He don't feel like he can rely wholly and totally on what God has said. And even though he claimed the promises to God that God had made, he had to get his hand in there. Now, I'm not saying what Jacob done was foolish. What he did was very intelligent. It makes perfectly good sense that you would do this. He splits these different animals up into different groups, and he sends them out in 3 layers, if you will. The first group would meet with Esau, and then the next one would come along behind, and then the next one would come along behind that. And last of all, the people would be well back behind this. And here he is, trying to bring a peace offering to Esau. Well, he went the present over before him. So went the present over before him. But himself lodged that night in the company, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. Now, Jacob goes and he splits up his company again. He takes and rises up in the night, took his wives and his women servants and his sons and passed over the ford Jabbok for it being. He took them over and took them over the brook and sent over that he had his stuff. And Jacob was left alone and wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Now, let's stop right here. Here is the turning point in the life of Jacob. And you ask, well, what's so unique about this particular event? What is so unique about this? Well, it's no different than some of the things that has happened to Jacob. He meets the Lord here, and he wrestles with him. If you have a Bible with you, turn to Hosea chapter 12, and I want to just notice in verse 3 and 4, Hosea 12, 3 and 4, and I'll be turning there, how that Hosea explains this particular event to us. Now, I realize I probably should have had this open ahead of time, being one of the minor prophets. It's sometimes hard to find. Listen to what Hosea the prophet says about this event. "He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." Now, here he says that, speaking of the wrestling of Jacob, he had power over the angel and prevailed. How? By his wrestling? By his strength? Absolutely not. This is not what Hosea says. What was his real strength? He wept and made supplication unto him. It was by the strength of the weeping and supplication of Jacob that he now has surrendered to God. Here the angel he's wrestling with touches the hollow of his thigh. Jacob, who we have already established was a strong man, loses his strength and now has to weep and speak to God in a supplication and a prayer and begging. No longer the plans of Jacob, but solely the promises of God. This has been Jeff Buckles of the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. If any of you have a comment or question or concern about your soul, just feel free to call us this week at 879-5695. And join us tomorrow. The Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.